are listening to another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station here in Chapel Hill at Carver 103.5 FM and on the internet at wcomfm.org. This is Tofu Dave, your host as always, and here I am with you today with a really interesting labor-oriented book, David Van Dusen, Insurgent Labor, from the Vermont AFL-CIO. David, do I have you on the line?
It's a pleasure to be here today.
Hey, look, it's great to talk to you, and you know, we're in sort of a weird position down here. I'm in North Carolina, and I forget what they call it legally, but it's sort of where, you know, they call it right to work, which I think is sort of ironic, but it's like right to work without a union.
Right to work for less money and no benefits.
Yeah, and then even if you have a union, you don't have to be in the union. It's like a whole crazy type of thing. So I want to just jump right into a lot of things. Your book's really provocative on many, many different levels. And one of the things I got out of the book and what you did when sort of you and your buddies, if I can put it that way, got into leadership of your state union, your state AFL-CIO, one of the things I noticed is you really opened up organizing to people that were outside of unions also. You sort of welcome people calling up with things about their job, even if they weren't in your union. Do I have that right?
Well, yeah, but the thing here is our Vermont AFL-CIO, our state labor council, was more of a, just like most of the country, we were going in the wrong direction. And then in 2019, myself and our working class left caucus called the United Slate, we decided enough was enough. And so what we did is we ran an insurgency campaign in order to build a new working class movement in the Green Mountains of Vermont.
Yeah.
We fought hard. We ran a good election, and it was a close race. And in the end, we won. And we've won every election since. And one of the first things we did was take money out of lobbying, take money out of getting behind a bunch of Democrats just because they have a D next to their name who did nothing for us once they were in office. And we put that money and those resources and that focus on organizing. So we created a new organizing department where we could send organizers to our affiliates when they wanted help organizing new groups of workers or internally organizing to become more powerful as an existing union. And that is one of the very first things we did that United, which is still in office under President Katie Maurice and Vice President Ellen Kay, continue to do to this very day. And as a result, guess what? Union density in Vermont has climbed up above 15%, which is
it's incredible.
Yeah,
it sounds like you guys did a great job. And what I'm getting at sort of is like a lot of my friends here in North Carolina, there's a certain amount of, I don't know how to put it, but sort of cynicism, because even sometimes you might call a union, oh, I'm trying to do something with my buddies, and you don't even hear back. And then I get some people saying to me, well, why should I even be interested? Because these guys that run the union, they're making more money than I'm making. And that's
another thing you
sort of turned around, right?
Well, look, first of all, our Vermont AFL-CIO, our executive board, are essentially volunteers. They're rank-and-file workers. And it was rank-and-file workers largely that took over our state labor council. Now, look, I was the highest paid officer for the whole Vermont AFL-CIO with a whopping salary of $10,000 or so a year. Okay, so we are working class people. There is no division between us and the broader working class and the rank and file. And this is the way it's got to be. But the thing is, right, the union is me and you. The union is not a third party. And when our unions don't work right, it's on us to take them back and to change them and define the priorities as working class people, as rank and file union members. And that's exactly what we've done. We're showing the way in Vermont of how to build a robust working class movement, a labor movement, one capable of winning and growing. Unfortunately, a lot of folks in the national AFL-CIO leadership, including Liz Shuler, don't see it that way. And we have had to fight incessantly from day one of taking power to keep them at bay. They feel threatened by the progress we've made. They feel threatened by the fact that we're stepping away from a Democratic Party that doesn't work for us, that we're not endorsing Republicans, but rather we're getting behind other working people and social democratic parties like the Vermont Progressive Party, which currently has the lieutenant governorship and a real caucus in the state house. So we're changing the scales of balance, and we're fighting tooth and nail for actual working class people, union and non-union, every chance we get.
Yeah, well, David Van Dusen, that's why when I read your book, Insurgent Labor, the Vermont AFL-CIO, and read your story, I wanted to talk to you because we got people down here that are trying the same thing also in North Carolina. Like, we got a group called Down Home NC. We got a bunch of labor insurgencies at the campus and with some public workers. But you know, as you know, it's a struggle. But reading your book, I got some hope and some guidelines for how to deal with, you know, some of the impediments along the way. And exactly what you said. You got to do it yourself.
You got to do it yourself. I mean, that's the real lesson. The working people are not going to be reach victory because of a savior. We can't be waiting for somebody to save us. We are going to be the architects of our own liberation. And we do that by taking back our unions. We do that by building a broad working class movement of folks, not just in the unionized, already unionized shops, but also in communities, so we can amplify each other's power. And in the end of the day, we got to do things different. But the real trick is, I wrote the book largely to show how we can do it, right? Vermont doesn't pretend to have all the answers. The Vermont AFL-CIO United doesn't claim to have a crystal ball. But what we do know is what's happened in the past doesn't work. If we keep repeating the same thing, hitching our wagon to the Democratic Party, putting all of our money and our resources into elections that bear us nothing in Washington, D.C., if we keep doing these things, then you know what? We're going to keep losing because we've gone from a high watermark of 35% union density in this country during the Great Depression, during the rise of the workers' movement there, then to 10% nationally now. Now, in Vermont, we're turning that around, and we're up above 15%. And that's a threat, oddly enough. That's taken as a threat by the powers of the status quo, the Liz Schillers of the world, the National AFL-CIO, because they're very comfortable making their $500,000 a year salaries, and they don't want to do things different because it's working out just fine for them. But meanwhile, the rest of us have to pay bills. The rest of us know that inflation continues to be on the rise. The rest of us know that in the richest country in the world, it's not good enough. It's not good enough for working people. And we can't just be comfortable. We have to experiment. We have to do things different. We have to recognize that we're in a class war. And if you're in a class war and you intend to win it, you got to get your knuckles bloody sometimes.
True words, true words. And that turns me to another issue. And maybe a hard question here on community radio, you know, where we exist to give a voice to anybody in the community that wants a voice. We'll tell them how to do a show. We'll get them on the air, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And it raises a thing that as I was reading some of what you wrote in your book, Insurgent Labor, the Vermont AFL-CIO, again, David Van Dusen, one of the things that sort of was between the lines is you guys found a way to talk to each other even when you don't agree. And that's, I'm finding, you know, that's always sort of hard. Like, you know, how do you do that? Like what you said right now was, you know, pretty strident. Well, I might be your buddy or neighbor or something, and I'd say, hey, Dave, you know, like, calm down a little bit. I don't want to go there right now. I think I still want to vote for so-and-so, even though you say I shouldn't. But you broke through.
We can't be afraid of democracy. We have a long tradition in Vermont of having real participatory democracy in our communities through a town meeting system. And the reason why democracy works is because you need to be able to listen to different sides of an issue. You need to be able to debate not just the easy issues of your day, but the hard issues of the day. And at the end of the day, you got to take a vote and you got to stand by that majority opinion. We believe very strongly in democracy. We believe very strongly in debate. That's why we've taken serious strides to democratize our own labor movement in Vermont. Because if you're going to ask people to man the barricades, they damn well better have a real sense of ownership over the organization calling for those barricades to go up in the first place. So we've more than doubled the amount of delegates each union affiliate has afforded to our highest decision-making body, our conventions. We have gone to the rank and file, not just the easy questions, but the hard questions, not just domestically, but also internationally, be it in solidarity, calling for an end to the bloodbath going on in Palestine, the ethnic cleansing there, or in support of the revolution in Rojava in northeast Syria, which also workers there are fighting for a direct participatory democracy, a secular one, in the Middle East. So we don't just go to members with the easy questions. We go with the hard ones, and we welcome a full and robust debate. And you know what? Sometimes my opinion wins the day. Sometimes another union brother or sister opinion wins the day. But that's what democracy means, and we can't be afraid of that.
Yeah, and afterwards, maybe you can go out and get a beer together or something.
Goddamn right.
So if you are in a, you know, like, I know I'm not asking you to tell people what to do, but what's the major lesson coming out of your 6 or 8 years of struggle to turn around the union movement in Vermont that maybe you would suggest thinking about to people, say, in a Southern right to work state here or something? What would you say they should be thinking about doing?
They should not hesitate. They should do it. Folks should only be limited by their own collective strength, their solidarity, and their imagination. We have shown that you could take essentially a dead state labor council. You could go to war against the old guard and win. You can take the reins of power, and you could then take serious steps to democratize the labor movement. And as a result, we have not only seen our membership of AFL-CIO unions in Vermont double since 2019 till today, double, but we've also won major political fights, including passage of the Vermont PRO Act this last spring, something the national AFL-CIO consistently has failed to do in Washington, and that's by playing hardball. So you can't be afraid to build power, and you can't be afraid to utilize it. But what we have shown in every measurable way, that experimentation can bear fruit, and there are different ways to build power, ones that go beyond, well beyond, those failed policies of the national AFL-CIO. But let me not be mistaken here. We are AFL-CIO. Just because we take issue, serious issue, with the failed ways of doing things that the national leadership has engaged in, we are still AFL-CIO members. That's not going to change. But we intend to transform not just the Vermont AFL-CIO, but we need to work with the North Carolina labor movement. We need to work with internationals like Sean Fain's UAW. We need to work with Sarah Nelson, with the flight attendants, or Mark Dimenstein's progressive APWU, Postal Workers Union. And we need to build a national working class left caucus capable of not just transforming the politics of states, or state labor councils or central labor councils, but the entire national AFL-CIO agenda, and we need to bring it to the working class level. We can do that, but this is the historic challenge before us today.
Well, great words to wrap this up on. David Van Dusen, the book, Insurgent Labor, the Vermont AFL-CIO. I don't want to give away everything in the book because I want some of my labor-oriented listeners to read it. There's some good stories in here about getting ready for a potential general strike in Vermont if Trump stole an election. There's some pretty frank talk about some internal debates on Black Lives Matter and what racism is or isn't, etc. I don't want to give it all away, but it's a real worthwhile thinking read for labor-oriented people. David Van Dusen, Insurgent Labor, I want to thank you for joining me on Between the Covers on Community Radio. Any last words for our audience?
Validated, brother. Let's win in Vermont. Let's win in North Carolina. Let's win in Texas, Montana, and California. And together, let's change what's politically possible in the United States of America.
Hey, wonderful talking to you again. This is another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station, WCOM FM 103.5, Chapel Hill and Carver, Tofu Dave. I'll see you again next week for another Provocative.